Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome, everyone, to this special bonus episode for our podcast. I'm so excited to have Kylie Woodley back on the podcast with us. And this time to share about her novel, which is launching today, and that is The Bandit's Redemption. So welcome, Kylie. So glad to have you here with us today.
Thank you. I am so happy to be here on release day for my debut novel. Thanks for having me on, Melissa.
Yes, of course. I mean, you're writing historical romance, which is our main genre here at Literary Escape. And it sounds like, just in our conversation beforehand, that you might have sprinkled a little suspense in there as well.
Yes, just a little. I was like a pinch of adventure. So for The Bandit's Redemption, the tagline is "A holdup gone wrong, a reluctant outlaw, and the captive she's sworn to guard." And as I was getting some feedback from readers, something that really I kept hearing was, there was a twist and but there's a little suspense in here. I really enjoyed the faster pace. So that was interesting to hear. And like, all right, well, that'll help me, you know, if you like a book with a little faster pace, you might enjoy The Bandit's Redemption.
Yeah. And it does have a little bit of a twist. So I just want to circle back to that real quick. It's the woman in our story, our leading lady, that's really the bandit, correct?
That's right. Yes. That just kind of came together. Writers are always looking for, you know, the most unique way to offer a story. And I had been researching some real life ladies who were pretty pretty dangerous. And so I was like, you know, I think that maybe a female outlaw would be really just a fun way to start. And sure enough, she has a lot of fun.
I bet. I have not had the chance to read your novel yet, but I am definitely looking forward to getting my hands on a copy and diving in. So with that being said, I am always curious when we talk to authors how you got into your writing career. Have you always wanted to be an author, or did it just kind of happen?
So it definitely did not just happen. I'm a teacher and I love teaching, but I always tell people I'm a born teacher. I'm not a born writer. I had to learn that. I also have a reading disability. So I'm like the last person that God should have called to be a writer. But I wrote and critiqued through just the ACFW critique groups for a lot of years, just to hone my craft. Luckily, I have an extreme love for story and historical fiction. And so just a lot of practicing, finding avenues of publication, such as like short stories, nonfiction pieces. And I've studied the market and just worked for years to educate myself about what readers are wanting, what publicists are wanting, and a lot of craft books, because you're not going to get published if you can't, you know, write something decent. Mm-hmm. A lot of classes, podcasts. The first query I sent was in 2018. And I'd been writing daily for 5 years. I'd already been writing for 5 years at that point. And but I didn't sign my next, you know, my book contract for another 6 years after querying. So I was going to conferences, pitching, sending queries, interacting with agents and editors, you know, for 6 years. So a total of writing for about 11 years, and signed with Wild Heart Books That's my publicist. So I signed with them last year. And then just shortly after that, also signed a literary agent with Books and Such. So.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. So this book will be coming out through the Wild Hearts Publishing, correct?
That's right. Wild Hearts, they publish just inspirational historical romance. They have some really great authors over there. Misty Beller and Gabrielle Meyer just joined. She'll be publishing some books through Wild Heart pretty soon as well. So very, very exciting.
Yeah. And our listeners will know Abby Downey's over there with them as well. She's been on a few times. So, yeah. Well, that is exciting. I've heard wonderful things about them. So I know you're in good hands there. But it's just exciting to watch your novel come to life finally. So I have to ask, then what was your inspiration for this book specifically?
So for this book, it really started with the outlaw aspect, as I shared a little bit. And I knew that actually I joined a group of ladies who were doing a box set, and it was Hearts of the West. And I wasn't able to do that because we had to move to Texas, and I pulled out. But I had already started this story, and I had the outlaw, you know, trope was in there. And so I threw in, you know, that was a girl. And then just research of like the just sort of the rough and the kidnapping aspect, and looking into that and what a male character, how Jesse, so Lorraine is the hero and Jesse's the hero, and just looking at him and like what his backstory was and how his characteristics would complement hers and kind of bring her out. The plot itself really lines up with the specific locations that they go through because he's kidnapped in Idaho and then taken down to Salt Lake City. And so there are different historical stops that they make, like Soda Springs on the Idaho-Utah border. And there's a railway and little country towns and different things like that that were just there at the time and really beautiful. And so there are different
events
that take place. So it's a lot of fun.
It's that sometimes the research is fun, and it's in the research that you find more ideas on what you could put in that book or maybe even start another book around. So were there any scenes or characters that gave you trouble along the way?
Well, you always hear about the sagging middle. So towards the middle, I had to decide, like, I kind of reached a spot where Jesse was actually... this might be a spoiler, but like he actually got away and he was like, okay, you know, like, what do I do now? And I kind of just stopped and I was like, what is he going to do now? And, you know, how's he going to reconnect with the heroine? Because they had kind of like had a romantic moment, and now there's what was keeping them together, which was the gang. They're not there. And so just looking at, you know, him, and I was like, well, I talked to one of my critique partners and she was like, well, he can't go forward with her. And I was like, why not? You know, just like wanting to like keep them together. She's like, because he would go home, wouldn't you? And I was like, yeah. And so, yeah, he started home and then ran into some troubles. And of course, he ends up seeing her again under some pretty interesting circumstances. Yeah, there are train rides and bank robberies and all kinds of adventurous things that I threw in there that are just, I guess, staples in Wild West shows. One thing I love about inspirational fiction is that it's clean. It's clean. I love Wild West Western movies, but I can't always watch them because of some of the content. And so when Mary Connealy puts out a book and I'm just like, yes, and Karen Whittemore, I can read those because they're clean and they're gonna have the elements of the Wild West that I treasure. So
yes, I grew up in a house where my dad's a big John Wayne fan. Yeah. And then, yes, and then Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, which those I think are fairly clean. Honestly, I was a kid, so I probably wouldn't have picked up on anything anyways. But yeah, right. Some of the more current stuff is you don't really care to watch. So I agree. When the new books come out, it's very exciting. So did you have any a character that you just really loved to write that was your favorite one to write in the novel?
I love them both, Jesse and Lorraine. Jesse really surprised me. I initially thought that he was like just young, impetuous, you know, stuck in his regret. He has some regrets in his backstory concerning his sister who was in an abusive relationship. He's just, you know, finished his education. He's supposed to start with his dad, like learning the business, and he's resisting that. And then in the midst of all that, he gets kidnapped. And so that really challenges him. It's kind of a real life issue to have to deal with. And he really proved himself to be adaptable and strong and wise. Being that Lorraine is the female character, it's a little easier to relate to her. But her background and just the historical rabbit trails that I enjoyed in getting to know her, those were really fun. And then, oh, I was talking to Darcy, my co-host over at Historical Bookworm. We've been writing partners or critique partners for almost 10 years. And I told her, I was like, it's so sad. Both of their moms are passed away. And she's like, Kylie, that seems to be consistent with a lot of your characters. And I was like, oh, you're right. And so I share that wound with them. I had to be careful and make sure I have some mom characters in there because they're just so fun. And I have wonderful grandmas and, I don't know, older. There are elderly ladies who are like kind of spiritual mothers in my life. So I sprinkle those in. There's actually one lady in this story, just a little bit, who's like that. But yeah, just connecting with Lorraine and
So on the flip side then, were there any characters in your book that were like your least favorite or they were difficult to write?
Probably the villain, Pierre. He's the antagonist. There's like a kind of head honcho villain that we don't see, sort of a mystery villain. But throughout the story, the antagonist would be Pierre, and he is a part of the gang, and he is vying for control of the gang. He and Lorraine clash a lot as he tries to get control and manipulate people. And so just tackling that character, understanding why he's doing what he's doing, completely for selfish motives, unfortunately. And so, but sometimes just like making sure that you have to know your villain well enough to really write them.
Yeah.
And so understanding why he's doing what he's doing, and no matter how naughty that might be. So yeah, he was but I've also heard there were my 14-year-old daughter read this and she was like, oh, Pierre, I can't stand him. And I was like, yeah.
Oh, did you ever try to write in his point of view, just to kind of like dig into that character a little deeper?
I wrote. Okay. So sometimes if I get stuck, I might journal. I might like step in and like interview and talk to the character and like write it out in my my notes. Or I might also journal as though I'm in the point of view of the character. And so I did have to do that when like things were tough and they were trying to recapture Jesse, like the gang was. I had to like just look at where he was, and that really motivated me. And he actually became more unkind and ruthless after that, because I realized, like, this guy, like, he only cares about himself. He's, like, been in this lifestyle for so long that the moral code that we all have, like, he he doesn't really have one, like not much at all. And he laughs a lot. He's always laughing and like just he's one of those villains. He's not like cold and scary, but he mocks and because he just doesn't care about anything. So that was it's interesting as like as a Christian author to delve into the bad guy and like why they're doing what they're doing. But I think between, you know, what we experience in our personal lives and the tragedy and unkind people, because I mean, like if anyone's gone to, well, school and work and just all the different things, and then what we see on our news and mm-hmm. you can, you know, we get a heavy glimpse of what's out there.
Yeah. I will say writing a villain, it does take a toll sometimes because you just think, how could someone be so mean? but it is interesting. I have done for my own writing some writing in the point of view of the character of the villain. Mine's a lot is pretty cruel, and my beta readers very much wanted to see him killed. Basically, they want him gone. And I said, we have to wait a little bit for that. He will get his comeuppance.
But for now, I need him. Yeah. There's this thing called stakes and tension.
Yes, I can't just get rid of him. So it is interesting to hear readers' feedback on that, though, yeah. as well. Yeah. So you kind of shared a little bit, but was there any one or two really fun facts you came across when you were doing research?
Well, fun. I came across I researched Lorraine's backstory a lot in France and just what was going on at the time. Because when we look at history, we look at like local history and then branch out from there. And so she lived through the Franco-Prussian War. And so that wasn't very fun, but it was fascinating. My ancestors on my dad's side are German. And so when they, on all of their census records, they don't put Germany, they put Prussia. That's actually part of the way that we've been able to identify them. They're very specific and take a lot of pride in that. And it has to do with when they came over as well. And so that was interesting, just reading about that and learning about that. I would say next to that, going through Idaho and like Soda Springs, that I thought that was neat. My husband and children and I, we travel from, you know, up. Well, we go back and forth between Texas and Washington State up there in the
wow
at the top. So top to bottom. And so we go through Idaho and Utah and visit some family there. And so Soda Springs is in Idaho, and it's a real like spring of carbonated water. And it's really beautiful to go through there. You should like research it. If you're going to be in that area, Google Soda Springs. They have the natural wells and the carbonated water, and they have this like where I don't know how to explain it, but like where the water bubbles up, it's created, it looks like coral, like like the fountain portion, it looks like coral, just the way that something having to do with the minerals and whatnot. And so yeah, but
wow,
I should like research, I should be like a little more specific on what exactly like fun per se that I've run into. I just like there were some interesting things and things that I enjoy, but like I also enjoy reading about like old crimes that happen and stuff, and I'm like, well, people don't want to know about, you know, sad things in history.
But you can get lots of ideas off of that for sure when you're looking at those stories. I believe it was Margaret, I'm looking up at my books up here, Margaret Brownlee, her ranch series, and I can't think of the name, but there's three of them, but it's a woman who owns the ranch. I don't know if you've read any of her books, and she's trying to find another single woman to take over. And she said the whole series spun off of this New York News article that she read that had a group of women who put money in a pot, and whoever was the last one to remain single got the pot of money.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And it was from back, I think she said like early 1900s, maybe something like that. So it was very interesting, for sure. So, what, when you wrote, I'm sorry, let me try that question again. When you wrote the novel, what was your hope that readers would walk away with, as far as inspiration?
As far as inspiration, I've noticed that, like, I start with a story idea and connecting with a character. Usually there's a couple, like, romantic, like, ideas or themes that come to mind, and I start writing. And as I'm writing, the things that I'm looking at, like, in my personal life and my Bible study and my devotion and my prayer time, and then, like, as I'm going to church and what my pastor's preaching on, those are the kinds of – those things are – they come into play, and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm listening to my pastor's message on hope. And I'm like, that's why, that's just like so-and-so character. And so that's kind of how elements of hope and like the spiritual themes get to be there. It's not something that I'm like, oh, I'm going to write a book about hope and here's how all the, how that fits in there. That's not really how I work. I really need God to, you know, to add that element for me.
Yeah.
But I hope that as they're reading this story that they are encouraged and that they get a little, you know, moment of escape as they're stepping into the story world. And then also I think one element that really stood out to me in the end was Lorraine having to move past the tragedy, you know, that she's escaped from as an immigrant coming to a new land and like putting down roots in America. She's resisted that for three or four years. So a long time. 'Cause she's not happy where she's at, but her world in France, it's just never going to be the same because of the losses. And so she's stuck. And when she compromises in a way to be part of this gang and to kidnap Jesse, she has to pause. And like at the beginning of the book, she stops and she's like, Lord, what am I doing? Like, how did I get like so far? And that's really the first step in her spiritual journey. And then Jesse's constantly calling into question all of the things that she's kind of built her foundation on. So I hope that, you know, we'll be encouraged to look around at the people that God has put in our life. You know, we're all here for a reason. I've different points and times in my lives, I've had to move away from my family and like completely start over, you know. And yeah, it's not your home church, but it's the church that you're at, you know. Yeah, it's not your same neighborhood, but like you have neighbors, you know. Everything that we do for God, and we need to try to look at His purpose for our life and not just what we're comfortable with or what we, you know, what we miss. And so that's, I think that's a message that Lorraine has to, you know, he really hear and understand. And she finds a new way to live through some sacrifice because it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's never easy. But I hope that readers will be encouraged by having to see how she moves on and is able to, that God really fulfills the dreams of her heart. But at the same time, she has to take a firm stand for what's right.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. I'm excited to dive in. I don't know if you've listened to our podcast episodes before, but one of the things we do is we rate different elements of the book and we use coffee as our rating. So like an espresso would mean there's just an expression of this element in the book. And then a mocha would be like there's a medium amount, and then latte, there's a lot. So I am just curious for our listeners, if you were to rate the romance level in your book, would you put it as an espresso, a mocha, or a latte?
I think a mocha, even though like I read Jodi Hedlund, I haven't been able to write like Jodi Hedlund. but I say that in It's clean. I think there are only like two kisses. There's not a lot, especially Wild Heart. They're very clean. They know their audience. They know who they're reaching and what those readers, you know, want and desire. It's just like when I look at a Western movie, I'm like, okay, is this going to have content in it that I'm okay with? Mm-hmm. And so it's the same with this book. And so as far as that romance goes, like the element, it being clean and there only being two kisses. However, I did make sure, because something that I really enjoy about the historical genre, I'm sorry, the romantic genre, is that they spend so much time together on the page and just that chemistry on the page. And so they spend a lot of time on the page together. I think it's like 80 or 90% of scenes in a romance should include both point of view characters, mm-hmm. you know, both main characters, even though it's in different points of view. And so I definitely made sure to do that for this novel, which is a little easier because they're, you know, he's kidnapped.
Yeah, he doesn't have anywhere to go, does he? That's wonderful. For those that are listening that are just aspiring to be an author, do you have any advice you would give them?
Don't give up. It's a really long road. And I love our Christian fiction market right now, but it's saturated. We know this. I've heard it time and time again. But there are opportunities, the way that the market is going, the different avenues we have available to us. There are houses, you know, like Bethany, but they're, you know, that are big, and those are going to be hard to get into. There are houses, you know, like Kriegel that are, you know, mid to big. And then, you know, we have, thank God, you know, we have some smaller presses where we can find a home for our work. But I would say to, on a personal level, be wise with your time. When I started writing, you know, 11 years ago, my children were 11 years younger. My oldest is 18 now, but like she was, you know, she was learning to read. And I had a 4-year-old, you know, there were things I had to be a mom. I can write anytime God's called me to write. I'm extremely blessed by that calling because I'm not a born writer. My children will only be in my house for so long now. And then listening for God's calling in this area and being willing to accept it, no matter how big or how small. I remember coming to the realization that the only writing that anyone, the only readers I might have might be my critique group. Is that enough? Like the six ladies that read my work and tell me what they think about it and are blessed by some of the messages. What if that is the ministry? What if that's it? What if that's all that God's called me to? Am I willing to set myself aside and my expectations and be like, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be there for just these six women? You know, because he measured his measuring cup. I always tell my kids we cook a lot. God's measuring cup is very, you know, it's different from ours. It's fluid. It changes. It doesn't look like what we have. And then just remember to give to others as you would have them give to you. You know, at some point in time, if you keep working and keep studying the craft and keep writing, there's going to be someone, a novice writer, and they're going to come to you with their dreams and their hopes. And be careful not to be jaded, you know, and also to keep lifting others up and stop and talk and listen. Because there are people who did that for us, and because the Bible says to treat other people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
I think that's my spiel.
Okay. I love it. No, it's great advice. It really is. I love the focusing on who is it that God wants you to serve right now in this moment. So that's wonderful. How can our listeners connect with you?
Well, I'm on Instagram and I'm on the podcast with my co-host Darcy Fournier. And so we do that a lot. However, I would love to connect with readers specifically through my newsletter, which you can sign up for at kyliewoodley.com. On the connect page, I have a sweet little short story that you will receive as a gift when you sign up. Wild Heart, they were so sweet. They gave me a fresh, just beautiful cover for my short story. because it's actually connected to the Outlaw Heart series. And so, yeah, you can read that at KylieWoodley.com. And I would just love to hear, you know, hear your thoughts on not giving up and, you know, blooming where we're planted and, you know, historicals. Do you enjoy real like Wild West or prairie or mountain men? Like, what are some elements that you enjoy? I love history. I could just soak in history all day. But yeah, I'd love to hear from everyone.
That's wonderful. I will put a link to Kylie's website so that you can sign up for her newsletter in the notes for this podcast episode. But Kylie, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat with us. And I'm hoping that you are having a blessed launch day today.
Thank you so much. It was great being here, Melissa. Always a pleasure to be on the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.